Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here, and Steve in a second checks in from our Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can find us on social media, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. You can always drop us a line by email, our address, stevejones@wkok.com. And our website is stevejonesshow.com, where you can find 3 months of shows archived there. And if you miss any of our live shows, we encourage you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast, available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. Just hit the...
It's only $200,000, so just jump right in.
Cheap. Be ahead of the curve.
Way ahead. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, hit that little subscribe button, and then we drop your shows right to your smartphone and tablet once we finish them live on WKOK. Then you can have access to them anytime, anywhere.
People have asked, where do the funds go? And it goes to the human fund. No, I'm just kidding. It's the human fund. No, you know, it does. You don't have to pay to do this. Because if we did that, we'd get no money.
Right.
So might as well let you have access to all of it. And while we make the same as we would if we charged it.
10% off if you use the code word suit.
I need a bigger discount than that.
All right, 15. All right, you drive a hard bargain.
Okay. 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
You'll be there. Adam Purdy will be there. All right. Craig will be there. Chief will be there.
Chief.
I'll be there. I think so. Anything?
That's covered. You're good. Yeah.
I'm not missing anybody, am I?
No. Like Matt Catrillo's going to try and stop by.
Matt Catrillo?
Alexander's going to swing over.
Kyle, big fan.
Yep.
Great to have Kyle. Anybody else? I mean, Jamie's not stopping by, is she?
I would think she would after lunch. Sure.
There you go. Jamie, come on over.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else? Can you think of somebody?
Greg Wetzel?
Yeah, Greg, excellent golfer, by the way.
Yeah, he's in our bullpen in case something pops up.
I want to tell you right now, boy, we could use him as a fourth.
Yes, Catrillo's in. He'll be there.
Good. Catrillo's in. Good.
Yep. Just yelled it from down the hall. He's in.
Is there anybody we're missing?
No. Well, oh, wait.
His kid's flunking Spanish at Albright. What the? trying to think now. Help me out here. He just drove off the road. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, known in Marseille as Les Suits.
Yes. And we can't forget Chad Hirschberger. He'll be manning the controls while we're at the club. So,
see, Chad always gets stuck. It reminds me of Tom Arnold in the movie True Lies at the end.
I love that movie. That was a great movie.
But at the end of the movie, I'm always in the van. I'm sick of being in the van. That's Chad Hershberger. I'm always on the board. I'm always stuck on the board. I want to go out. I want to go out on the mission.
That's why he really looked forward to catching up with you at the holiday party. So.
Well, I had a good time. Chad and I had a good time.
Yeah, we did. We all did.
We had a really good time.
Yeah.
Is there anything missing that night?
He had a game. Sued had a game. A rescheduled game. Because of the snow.
No, it didn't snow that night.
Oh, that's right. You got home before it snowed, I think. I hit snow halfway home. I hit snow on the way home last night. There was like a 3-4 minute squall by a mile run on I-80 yesterday. I'm like, I'm like, come on.
Oh,
yeah. Snow on tax day.
Yeah. Oh, man. We were sitting there today. We're talking about that. Now, the weekend's going to be beautiful. I mean, the weekend's going to be sunny, nice. For the Blue White game, it's going to be sunny and nice for the Paterno family run into Beaver Stadium. It's going to be terrific. But man, we've had to fight our guts out to get there. I'm trying to think, the heck were we watching? Watching something where it was just beautiful, nice and sunny and warm out. And I kept thinking, I don't know. I'd like to see that here. This has not been great. Now, coming up today, Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com will join us, NFL Draft. Tomorrow, Bob Flounders joins us. Patrick Chambers joins us. Bob Grove joins us tomorrow. And then coming up on Friday, we're going to have Joe Marino from FanRag Sports on the NFL Draft. The great one himself then joins us at 4:35. And Joe Susan's on Monday's show. So we are... this is like O'Hare at rush hour. I mean, right now, the flights are stacked up, which is good. It's a good thing. Then on WK, is WKOK airing any of the talk show, like a half hour of it?
Yes.
So the first half hour will be James Franklin on Thursday night, and then all of it will be on WKOK.com.
Correct.
And then the blue-white game will be on Eagle 107 Saturday at 3. And by the way, we congratulate Eagle 107 on 20 great years on the air, 20 years this week.
Today,
as a matter of fact.
That's right.
How about that?
Yep. And at the very same time, that Saturday morning, 6 a.m. on April 18th, 1998, that's when WKOK became News Radio 1070, WKOK. And it was later that day we had on WKOK, we had live coverage of the NFL draft, the infamous... who do we take, Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning? That was 20 years ago today.
I think the Colts made the right choice. And then 13 and a half years after that, I joined. How about that?
Yeah.
And then, it's been 2 years for you now?
On this show, yes.
2 years.
2 years and 2 years and a month.
2 years in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So 25 months of inner peace. So
actually, my first show at Sunbury Broadcasting was back in May of 1995. I was on the air from 2 to 6.
Really?
Yes.
All music? Okay.
Yep. That's when we had the music, and we had a little 9-10 minute news break at the top of every hour with CBS for the first 6 minutes, and then we'd have our local news from like 3:06 to, you know, from like 6 after to about 10 after.
Wow.
And then music the rest of the hour. Yeah, that time I was on 2 to 6.
2 to 6. That's great.
Taking them home.
Let's get everybody up to date on the scoreboard today. We'll take care of some news information right now. And the Pirates had an afternoon game today as they took on the... Colorado Rockies are trying to salvage the final game of the series because this is the first series all season the Pirates have lost. Pirates, though, in the bottom of the eighth inning are beating Colorado 7-2. Top of the eighth, Detroit leads Baltimore 2-1. And by the way, the Cubs and the Cardinals are postponed because of who knows what reason. Cold, snow, rain, I don't know. Nobody knows. Tampa Bay leads Texas 4-1 top of the eighth inning. Milwaukee leads Cincinnati 2-0 end of 5. White Sox and Oakland at 3:35 today. And, of course, the Phillies will take on the Braves tonight up in Cobb County. 7 o'clock the start tonight with a 7:35 first pitch. And, by the way, Jose Bautista has joined the Braves. Signed today, as a matter of fact. Okay, here's a good one. Vegas odds. Okay, Vegas odds. The Nashville Predators are 4-1 favorites to win the Stanley Cup. You know who the co-favorite is? The expansion Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, how about them also with the sweep?
4-1
With the sweep.
But now they're 4-1 odds to win it. This is an expansion team. My goodness. It's amazing what's happened there. Oh, my. Wait. Again, a year ago today, they had exactly zero players. Zero players. Wow. And now they're co-favorites to win the Stanley Cup. That is amazing. Think about that. Amazing. So I want to bring up something quickly. And that we talk money on this show all the time. And I'm going to bring this up. There has been, and look, I don't know how much of this is negotiating, how much of this is fear of cord cutting. I don't know. But as of right now, Big Ten Network, Comcast has dropped them in all non-Big Ten states. So, in other words, Big Ten Network is in, right now would be in Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland. Okay? Everywhere else, no, right now. If it's on Comcast, if it's on Time Warner or some other local whatever cable system, it can be on. But Comcast is obviously a major domo in all of this. This is something that Big Ten schools need to be extremely aware of, which of course they are, but I'm going to make fans aware of this as well. Fewer subscribers means less money. When we're talking about the great TV deals that the Big Ten has, well, part of that is the Big Ten Network. Well, when you're now, I believe it is, the cost is, I want to say, 1/3 of what it is if you live in the, what Jim Delaney would call the footprint. Okay. So it costs 3 times as much to have Big Ten Network if you live in Pennsylvania as opposed to Arizona. Now we're talking about cents here. We're not talking about huge dollar amounts. I'm trying to think how much the Big Ten Network is on your cable. It might be, I don't know. I mean, it might be up to a dollar now, but if it's in a non-Big Ten area, it's 33 cents. See what I'm saying? But that's still, when you start grouping it by the number of homes, and let's go with this part, that includes Virginia, okay, which Maryland would warp into, huge population area, and New York, which is allegedly where Rutgers, allegedly, warps into, which includes New York City, which means Big Ten Network would not be on in New York City right now. That could have a domino effect unless it's solved on how much money the schools get. So it's more than just, I'm living here in Kentucky, I'm a Big Ten fan, I can't get BTN. I mean, I live in Kentucky and I'm a huge Indiana fan, Purdue fan, whatever. Can't get BTN. Ohio State, can't get BTN. Okay. I live in New York State. I'm a big Penn State fan. I can't get BTN. That's frustrating for the viewer. All right, so there's that. But for Big Ten Network, which, by the way, is one of the few cable sports outlets that saw growth in the last 6 months. I'm trying to think who saw growth in the last 6 months. There's two of them. It was Big Ten Network, and it was, you I think you saw, it wasn't Golf Channel, was it?
I can tell you for sure, it definitely was not Pac-12 Network.
No, it's not Pac-12 Network.
They're not doing well at all. No.
No. But remember, there's a domino effect to this. And the domino effect then goes to what kind of dollars BTN can send to each conference school.
Just depending on where you're at across the country, it costs you anywhere between like 39 cents to a dollar.
Right. So that's what I said. I think I said $1.33. I said it was one third.
Yeah.
All right. So in the non-Big Ten states, it's 39 cents. But you multiply that times homes that have cable in those states, and it comes out to a number that is then, of course, distributed to all the schools. Just food for thought. We will come back with more in a moment, and we'll talk about the NFL draft. Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com coming up, bottom of the hour. Tomorrow on the show, looking forward to Patrick Chambers being on with Bob Flounders and Bob Grove as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us today. Phillies take on Atlanta tonight, 7:35, first pitch, 7 o'clock, the airtime. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And we're going to have Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com. He has put up his mock draft that goes right now through round 6. So interesting. Let's see if we can steal here for a second what his mock draft on round 1 is. Let's see. Oh, he's got the suit. Oh, okay. 8th pick. Wrong draft.
8th round? No, wait. That's right, there's only 7.
Like I always try to point out. love him on the after show.
Big.
I don't want to get personal here.
I'm just curious, a week from tomorrow night, which team, because when we go through the first round, there's always that, wow, your jaw drops when you hear about that team that makes the big splash and the huge move up, like with the Falcons several years ago when they moved up to get Julio Jones. It's like, which team is going to move up that desperately needs a quarterback? Is Terry Pegula and the Bills, are they going to pull the trigger? Or Arizona? Arizona desperately would need a quarterback, too.
Well, he's got Sam Darnold going to the Giants. I'll be frank with you. I think they're going to go with Saquon Barkley. I get the feeling Pat Shurmur is very comfortable with Eli Manning. He's got Josh Allen going to the Browns first. Baker Mayfield to the Jets. Then he's got Saquon going to the Browns at 4. Quentin Nelson to the Broncos at 5. Bradley Chubb, Colts 6. Derwin James, Tampa Bay at 7. Let's see. There's an ad here for jewelry. All right. Tremaine Edmonds, Virginia Tech to the Bears at 8. Minka Fitzpatrick, Niners at 9, and Vita Vea to the Raiders at 10. Because I think he's got great stuff, man.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai asks, what import brand is the must-have vehicle in the Susquehanna Valley?
Toyota?
April Fools!
Honda?
April Fools!
Subaru?
April Fools!
It's Hyundai! That's no April Fools! If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai! Stop in Sunbury Motors Hyundai and see why Hyundai offers more features, more selection, and more choices than any other import brand. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is taking up to $5,050 off 2000. 2018 Hyundai Santa Fe's, and they start at $25,560. Start your spring off right with a brand new Hyundai Veloster. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has seven in stock, starting at $17,495. Or a 2018 Hyundai Elantra, starting at $15,730, with 13 in stock. And they all have America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Don't fall for April Fool's jokes. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us today. By the way, the great professional wrestling legend, champion, Bruno Sammartino, passed away today at the age of 82. Now, we never talk about professional wrestling on here, but Bruno Sammartino is someone who, for older ones in our audience, know exactly who he is. All right. Been a long time since I caught up with this guy, but I'm thrilled that he's on the show with us. And that is Charlie Campbell of Walter Football. How have you been, my man? Great to hear you.
I'm good, doing real well. Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's start with this. You put out your mock draft through, what, six rounds, I think. You've done that.
Yep.
Through six rounds. Now, obviously, this draft is based on today's alignment of teams. I mean, we don't know if there's going to be deals next week or not. We'll find out. But you've got the Browns at one, and you've got them going quarterback. In fact, you've got quarterbacks going in the first four picks. Or excuse me, the first three picks.
First three picks.
So what order do you see, and why do you see it that way?
Just based on what I've heard from teams, you know, in my mock drafts, I'm projecting what I think a team will do, not what I think they should do. And from what I've heard from teams, it sounds like Josh Allen, the quarterback from Wyoming right now, is the favorite to go to the Browns with the first overall pick. Then Sam Darnold to the Giants at number two, and Baker Mayfield, the quarterback from Oklahoma, to the Jets at three. And that's just what I'm hearing, and we're still a week out, so over the next week, we definitely could have some things change and those picks kind of get shaken up. But that's what I'm hearing, the direction those teams are headed right now.
If I had to pick one team, though, in the top three that wouldn't take a quarterback, I'm just, okay, would be the New York Giants. Only because Pat Shurmur has seemed so sure of Eli Manning. So if the Giants don't go with a quarterback, where might they go?
Well, there's been a lot of, you know, talk that they would take Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State. But in talking with team people today, they thought that Bradley Chubb and Quentin Nelson would also be in that conversation if the Giants don't go quarterback. So I think that that's kind of an open-ended one right now. But from what I've heard, teams around the league think they're going with a quarterback. And I know on ESPN and a lot of the media, they're saying Barkley's the pick there. It's heading that direction. But I've spoken with teams today and other GMs, teams that are watching the Giants closely, and they keep telling me they think they're taking a quarterback. So definitely a lot of conflicting information out there.
Now, let's stick with Barkley for a moment. In your mock draft, it doesn't take long for him to go. The Browns take their quarterback at one, and then they take him at four.
Yeah, I mean, Barkley is the best player in the draft. The Browns love him. I know that he's the guy they're targeting at four, and they just have to, for them to get him, they just need the Giants to pass at two. And that's really the only other team that could get Barkley would be if Denver trades up to two in order to get him. I know the Broncos love Barkley as well. So I think he's going to end up being in Cleveland or Denver, and it's just a question of you know, which spot, which one, and if there's a trade that's involved.
In fact, I've been on so many Denver talk shows in the last month. You can tell that somebody's saying something to somebody out there how much they like Barkley. Quentin Nelson, guard is not usually a primo spot. It's quarterback, it's left tackle, it is defensive end. I think that's a fair assessment of the pecking order. What makes Nelson a great prospect for somebody?
Well, I mean, Nelson, his play demeanor is very much like Logan Mankins, but he's bigger and stronger than Logan Mankins. The guy is absolutely dominant. He's a road grader in the run game. He can move defenders at the point of attack, create holes. He's rock solid in pass protection, very smart and quickly to adapt to blitzes and games on the inside there. So he's just an exceptional player. Has an NFL body, is a plug-and-play starter, and he, you know, in talking with teams, a lot of people think he could end up, as long as he stays healthy, they think he could be a perennial Pro Bowler and has Hall of Fame potential.
You've mentioned how you've tried to talk to as many people as possible. Give everyone an idea of how much you try to get from people to at least then give you some tea leaves as to possibilities.
Oh, I mean, it's constant, constantly texting and talking on the phone, but, you know, lots of texting with scouts these days and some GMs and other college directors and coaches around the league. They're having their draft meetings right now. Each team is. So I text with them throughout the day and overnight, and sometimes I'll get woken up with texts from them at 5:30 in the morning. So right now it's just a constant flow of information and trying to, you know, get players in the right range and see who could be a fit where.
All right, let's go a little deeper into the draft. A lot of fans around here want to know about the Eagles, and they want to know about the Steelers. So let's start with the Steelers. What direction do you think they might go once the dominoes fall into place?
Well, I think they definitely could be looking for linebacker help in the first round. I think Rashawn Evans from Alabama, Leighton Van Der Esch from Boise State are two names to keep an eye on for them there. Darius Leonard, the linebacker from South Carolina State, maybe a bit more of a second-round possibility. And then another name I would include in there is Lamar Jackson. I know that higher-ups with the Steelers really like him, think he's a really special player. And so scouts that were at the Louisville Pro Day told me the Steelers sent everyone there, Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin. The whole front office was there. So I think that Lamar Jackson, if he slides there, could end up being the pick for them. But I'm just not that confident that he's actually going to get to that spot.
Okay, because there are people in front of him. Like Lamar Jackson, it looks like he's going to be a first-round draft pick. There are certain quarterbacks that bring a wild card to the table. I think Josh Allen's one. Gigantic arm and has accuracy that, no. But Jackson brings, even though he's not a running quarterback, he brings mobility. I mean, I want to be careful not to label Lamar Jackson a running quarterback. He's not. I think he wants to throw from the pocket, but he can move and keep a play alive. But there are also quarterbacks that bring some liabilities of accuracy to them. Has that been expressed to you?
Yeah, for both Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And for Lamar Jackson, it's really footwork-based. And with his arm, the arm strength is not an issue. With just the flick of the wrist, he can really drive the football. So it's not an arm strength problem. It's his feet. And that's something that can be worked on in the NFL. You'd much rather have it be the feet than other problems that a quarterback can have. So with NFL coaching and time to develop, I think his accuracy is going to improve. And I think his completion percentage is pretty misleading because I watched a ton of Louisville games last year, and his receivers were awful. I mean, they dropped perfectly placed passes every game, hitting them right in the hands, between the numbers, and then on the ground. So that was a constant theme throughout their season, and that impacted his numbers, which kind of leads to that criticism being a bit louder.
Of the top quarterbacks, I've seen two of them in person. I obviously saw Sam Darnold in doing the Rose Bowl. The other one, ironically, I saw was Josh Allen. I had a speaking engagement one night at Eastern Michigan. It was a Penn State club, and Penn State was playing Michigan in football the next day, but it was at Eastern Michigan, so they were playing that night against Wyoming. Gigantic arm, actually decent footwork, but accuracy not really that great. What is it about him that the Browns, is it the big arm the Browns love?
I think it's the arm. I think it's also his personality. He's a smart kid, hard worker, good character. I think they feel comfortable with him as an individual. And I think that Sam Darnold is definitely still alive to be the number one pick. I think those two are the finalists. So to me, it's going to come down to those two guys. But right now, I'm hearing it's Allen, and I think it's the superior skill set that's kind of getting him the edge at this point.
Okay, one name we haven't mentioned, because you've mentioned here, you've mentioned Allen, you've mentioned Darnold, you mentioned Baker Mayfield, you haven't mentioned Josh Rosen. Where does he fall in your draft right now, Charlie?
Right now, I have him going to the Bills, and I think that Buffalo would trade up for him. I don't think they'll stay at 12 and wait for him to get there, and they certainly have the ammo to move up. And with Rosen's arm, I think he's a good fit in the conditions in Buffalo, playing in those winter games in the wind late in the year. His passes will be able to cut through that wind, and he won't be limited by the elements. So I think he fits them well, and I think he fits them well. Or in some ways, Buffalo is a good spot for him for the off the field, because I know some GMs that have expressed the concern about him being a partier, and that they would have concern about him having distractions off the field in terms of nightlife, depending on where he goes. And I think Buffalo would be a good spot. He'd be fortunate to land there professionally, because I think that that's going to be less of an issue for him. So I think that that is a really good fit for him and for the team. So I think they're going to make it happen one way or another, and they move up and get him.
I don't think you understand, Charlie, what a wild place Buffalo is. All right, so
I've been through there, but it was a days when I couldn't go wild, so I'll have to take your word for it.
Okay. I mentioned earlier the Eagles. What did the Super Bowl champions do?
I think they're moving down, and with them not having picks on the second day, I think that they're even more motivated to do it. And I think that pick at 32, they're going to be able to get a nice payment for that, because that pick carries, it's the last one that you're going to get a fifth-year option on that rookie's contract, which can end up being tremendous cost savings for a team. So I think that Howie Roseman's going to have the phone ringing, and he's going to work his magic, and he'll move down. I could see them going a number of directions. I think offensive tackle would definitely be in play for, say, like UCLA's Colton Miller, if he's there in the second round when they pick. Would make sense. I think they also could look at cornerback. I'm not sure they're going to be willing to pay Ronald Darby. Obviously, Sidney Jones, had that injury. So I could see them looking for, they have quantity at corner, but I think they might look for more quality. So a player like Dante Jackson from LSU or Carlton Davis from Auburn, depending on if they want small and speed or big and physical, they have some choices there. Or Isaiah Oliver from Colorado. So I think offensive line, defensive backfield, and linebacker, you couldn't rule out as well if a good one is there for them. But I definitely think of all the picks in the first round, if I had to bet on one, team to trade down, it would be the Eagles at 32.
All right, I'm going to ask you to put your Penn State hat on here. I know you've done your draft through six rounds. So Mike Gesicki, who has had a great offseason, and Deshaun Hamilton, who's had a great offseason, under your current projection, where does each one go?
I have them both going kind of middle range of day two. I think second, third round is kind of the late second to early third round is kind of the range that we could see both of them go off the board. It'll just kind of depend on fit. Right now I have Gesicki going to the Texans and getting reunited with Bill O'Brien. O'Brien recruited him out of high school, was really had a lot of praise for Gesicki at the Senior Bowl. So Houston is in dire need of a receiving tight end, and he's a guy, even though they're without first and second round picks, he's a guy that could give them some, you know, an instant contribution, which is hard to find for most third rounders. So to me, that's kind of a perfect match for him. For Deshaun Hamilton, there is a ton of receiver needy teams picking in that mid to late second round, early third round range. I think you could see him being targeted by a lot of teams. So I think both of them shouldn't have some exciting Friday nights. I don't think either one's going to get to Saturday.
Marcus Allen also worked out this week with the Pittsburgh Steelers. As a matter of fact, some people are wondering about him. Is he a third-day guy or is he a second-day guy?
I think he's more likely to be a third-day guy, but it wouldn't shock me if he snuck into the end of the third round. I think he's in that mix, and it's, you know, that part of the draft, you start to see teams, you know, kind of vary a bit more from the consensus, and they're just starting to take players that they like, and the grades are really starting to vary a lot. You know, most teams, if it's a first, second round player, it's that kind of athlete in production and across the league, the guy's grading out as a one or a two. But when you get into the middle of the draft, you can get some big variety. So I think that, you know, Allen stands a good chance of going in the middle portion, third, fourth, you know, fifth round probably would be the lowest.
All right, give me a sleeper in the first two rounds that if somebody ends up getting him, you think they've been able to get a steal.
I would say Terrell Edmonds, the safety from Virginia Tech. And everyone's focused on the brother, Trumaine Edmonds. He's probably going to go in the top 10 and deservedly so. But I think people are sleeping on Terrell in part because his brother is so good. But Terrell, man, that guy plays like his hair is on fire. And to me, he is kind of an ideal strong safety because he can play man coverage on slot receivers and tight ends. He can tackle and be that eighth man in the box. And he's also played free safety. Virginia Tech used him all over the field. And with his size and speed, he ran fast at the combine, strong, hard hitter. I think he's going to be a steal as a safety on day two. And he's kind of gone under the radar. But in a few years, I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the better strong safeties in the NFL.
Charlie, it was just great to get you back on the show. I've been wanting to get you back for a while, and I appreciate the time very much. WalterFootball.com, and Charlie Campbell is the senior draft analyst. Charlie, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk with you.
Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com on the NFL Draft. Don't forget tomorrow, Bob Flounders, Patriot News on Penn State Football, Patrick Chambers, Penn State Basketball, Bob Grove on the Penguins and the Flyers, all coming up on tomorrow's show. Also, Joe Marino, FanRag Sports on the NFL Draft Friday, and the King of Kings, my brother, Friday as well. Joe Susan on Monday to put a bow on Bucknell's spring football. In fact, what we'll do is we archive every show, and one of the reasons we'll definitely archive Monday's show is so the color analyst for Bucknell football can find out from the coach what happened, because there's a good chance he won't go.
Yeah, it was all summer to figure it out and decipher and break it all down.
The day before the game, you and I are going to get a call. What day did you have him on? All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.